The Washington Redskins may be closer to moving on from a nickname some say is a racial slur. Correspondent Bernie Bennett reports.
The Washington Redskins are having a thorough review of their name. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says the league has been in touch with owner Dan Snyder and supports the step. Snyder says the process will include input from alumni, sponsors, the league, community, and members of the organization. FedEx on Thursday urged the team to change its name, and Nike appeared to remove all Redskins gear from its online store. PepsiCo told reporters on Friday it's time for a change. The recent national debate on race has renewed calls for Snyder to change the name referred to as a dictionary-defined racial slur by experts and advocates. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
The Texas GOP is moving ahead with a three-day convention in Houston, one of the nation's coronavirus hotspots, over opposition from doctors and some local party activists.
Party leaders have voted to stick with an in-person gathering starting July 16th. The event is typically one of the largest political conventions in America, drawing thousands of attendees. Some supporters suggested that changing plans is not what President Trump would want. The Texas Medical Association has called for canceling the convention, saying now was not the time to pack thousands of people indoors.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Republican Governor Greg Abbott has not taken a position on whether his party should go forward with meeting in person. The U.S. is heading into the 4th of July weekend with many parades and fireworks displays canceled, beaches and bars closed, and health authorities warning that this will be a crucial test of American self-control. They say this could determine the trajectory of the surging coronavirus outbreak. With confirmed cases climbing in 40 states, governors have ordered the wearing of masks in public, and families are being urged to celebrate their independence at home. And even then, they're being told to keep their backyard cookouts small. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets five-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel blue.
Let's face it, these are challenging times. Hey, Kevin Wall here for SRT Special Services. Since 2014, SRT Special Services has provided Southern Nevada businesses with executive protection, safe rooms, residential security, and more. Now, in the COVID-19 era, it's important to know who's coming into your place of business. Ask the pros at SRT Special Services about the Liberty AI with facial recognition and thermal scanning. The Liberty AI can let you know if the next customer through your front door is running a temperature, protecting your employees, your customers, and your corporate liability. Facial recognition and temperature scanning technology has been out there for years. Now, the security pros at SRT Special Services can offer the Liberty AI at a price that even small mom-and-pop businesses can afford. If your business deals with the general public, you need the Liberty AI from SRT Special Services. Call 702-221-1942. That's 702-221-1942. Call today.
It's 3:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. COVID-19 hospitalizations in Nevada and Clark County have nearly reached peak seen back in April. But local medical experts say they are better equipped now to handle the influx of coronavirus patients. Las Vegas area hospitals say the recent spike in cases are less severe, partly due to they're treating more younger and healthier patients. Well, holiday or not, wear the mask. County business agents will be visiting pools, bars, and restaurants along with retail stores to make sure social distancing and the mask mandate are being adhered to. Happy 4th. Well, the Nevada Gaming Control Board has opened 111 cases into whether some Silver State casinos have not been following the board's new health and safety procedures. The cases come after more than 7,400 inspections by the board's enforcement division. While the 1.5% rate may seem low, some officials say the number higher than zero is unacceptable. Caesars Entertainment officials confirm that seven workers at its Harrah's Laughlin property have tested positive for COVID-19. Company officials would not say where the employees worked at the Colorado River Hotel Casino. Laughlin has also canceled its annual Rockets Over the River 4th of July celebration.
KCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
We're getting some slow flows right now through the resort corridor of Interstate 15, both directions, mainly between Sunset and Sahara. Some heavy volumes also US 95 southbound at Lake Mead. Also, you'll tap the brakes there on the 515 south at Pecos.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is Friday. It is the Friday before the 4th of July. I'm so excited, everybody. Many of you are already gone, and that's great. More power to you. A lot of you are staying behind. You're afraid to travel. You're afraid to get out of the house. You're afraid to do a lot of things. And it causes mental health issues that normally might not be there or might not be as pronounced. Joining us now, Dr. Adi Jaffe. He is a world-renowned expert on mental health, addiction, relationships, and shame. And he joins us. Dr. Jaffe, first of all, thanks for joining us. One of the things that I've noticed is that people get very wigged out. And I know it's not a medical term, and I apologize for that. But they really struggle with this COVID-19 thing. Can you talk a little bit about some of the problems that begin with this COVID-19 pandemic? It's a once in 100 years thing, but it's here, and it's here for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm okay with making wigged out a clinical term moving forward, if that's fine. Here's the thing. We get used to doing things in a habitual manner, whether we realize it or not. We get used to living our lives a certain way, and any big shakeup to that is uncomfortable. And the reality is, as you mentioned, it's been essentially a century since we've been asked to make this big a shift in how we behave. You know, when 9/11 hit, the shift lasted a couple of weeks, and it was really, really rough, of just a few days of not flying. But we're talking about being quarantined, we're talking about being unable to travel, we're talking about being unable to see and visit family and friends, and we're social animals, and so we like connecting, we like seeing others. What I've noticed is, I mean, there are a slew of effects of what's happened here, and unfortunately, we're not really going to get a clear picture of everything until a few years after this had passed, but anxiety and depression levels are escalating, isolation, and by that I just don't mean physical isolation, I mean social isolation, people who are just not connecting with others, has skyrocketed. We know alcohol sales have doubled or more than doubled. And so, you know, in my field, in addiction and mental health, I just know we're going to see cascading traumatic effects from this six-month, year-long period for a long time to come.
So what do we do? We're told to, like, for instance, as a guy that lives by himself, I'm stuck in my house on a daily basis during this shutdown. What should I do? How do you reach out to fix, you know, what ends it? I mean, you start thinking about it and overthinking it and all of that. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, so, you know, I've done a lot of research into human needs and motivation, and we actually know the answer to that. So it's pretty straightforward. You might have to work a little harder to get these things during Corona. But have you ever heard of the, are you a glass half full, glass half empty?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Perfect. So I created my version of a theory around needs and motivation around that glass concept. And so one of the things that's missing from the are you a glass half full or half empty kind of person is the structure of the glass. And we know that for people to be able to feel joy and contentment in life, we need three things. We need safety, we need shelter, and we need sustenance. And so if you remember, when this thing started and people were running out of toilet paper and canned foods and you couldn't get anything, literally sustenance was a problem. Safety was a huge issue. And hopefully for a limited number of people, shelter. What's left behind right now is safety. And I don't just mean physical safety as in what happens if you get the virus. I'm saying literally being able to predict tomorrow, the next week, the month after, that sort of safety, right? Psychological safety. And so one of the things that I really urge a lot of people to do is do not sit there all day and listen to updates about what's going on. Because here's the problem. You need to kind of get back to being able to take some measure of reliance and reliability into your life. You know, the moment-to-moment changes in infection rates and things of that matter, they're important for people who can do something about it. You can't do much about it, so take care of yourself, stay healthy, but do not spend your entire day worrying about all the things that are unsafe by literally consuming the media. Now, we move inside of the glass, and there are also three factors that are important to give you joy, and those are control, competence, and connection. Control gets back to what I was talking about before, but there's something else we can do. You might be stuck at home, but that doesn't mean you can't keep some sort of a schedule. So wake up at a certain time. Even if you're only, if you can't leave the apartment and you've got to exercise or something like that only within the house, do it. Put in your schedule and make it happen. Keep some measure of control and organization in your daily life. The next thing is connection. Yes, you can't go and hug all your friends. You can't walk into people's barbecues for the 4th. I get it. But that doesn't mean you can't digitally connect. FaceTime, Zoom, whatever, Facebook Messenger, I don't care how you do it. Make a point of connecting to other people. And then competence. It is really important for us to feel like what we are doing matters and like we are appreciated. And so I've found it's actually interesting, right? My work matters a lot right now because a lot of people are struggling. And so that was an easy one for me. But I've got clients who have gone and let's say they've started making scrubs or face masks for emergency responders or, you know, I don't know, they go post recipes or help make food for people who can't do it. Find a way to do something that makes you feel like your days matter. If you can do the three things on the outside to keep your glass contained and you can do the three things on the inside to keep yourself motivated moving forward, you'll be doing pretty well when this is over.
Again, Dr. Adi Jaffe joining us. He is a world-renowned expert on mental health. He is the author of the book, The Abstinence Myth. And I want to ask you, this thing will eventually go away. We know it will. The experts even say it will eventually, maybe a year, maybe 2 years. What will the lasting legacy of the COVID-19 pandemic be? What will be the remnants that we'll see years from now? We'll say we'll be able to trace it back to COVID-19.
That's a great, great question. I think there are a lot of things, depending on whether you look at people's work or social life. You know, we've been creating this kind of, I'll call it the digital revolution or the remote kind of revolution in work. And I think that has really been accelerated this time, right? You hear about companies that are considering, do we even really need our offices? Or do we need to make people come in every day? Can we save some money? Can we do something totally different in that way? So I think that's going to be a lasting remnant of what's happening right now. And weirdly, I'm of the belief that in terms of social connection, you give us a couple of years after this is gone, and we won't barely remember that it's there, except for one big thing, and that is before Corona happened, I believe that a lot of people thought you couldn't connect digitally with others. There were a lot of people, you know, some of us were doing FaceTime. Did you do a lot of FaceTime before Corona hit?
No.
So I think a lot of people were still saying, yeah, I'm not into it. It doesn't give me the same input, et cetera. And then some of those people, I'm assuming you're one of them, had to kind of come to the table and say, you know what, if this is all I have right now, I'll still take it over not being connected at all. So I think digital connection and remote work are going to be two of the big things that are going to last this.
I want to ask you about addiction, because that's one of the things you specialize, the abstinence myth, in your book. Can you talk a little bit about the people that have they've had to modify their lives? You talked about Facebook, things like that. But there are people that maybe weren't big drinkers. We know that the increase in liquor sales was something like 40 or 50% just in the first month of the pandemic. Can you talk a little bit about, is it okay if somebody compensates, if you will?
Overindulges right now?
Exactly, at a time like this.
Yeah, so a couple of things. First of all, alcohol sales have at least doubled, and my sense is the number is going to go up as we keep getting more data over this time. Look, in my book, I talk about the fact that addiction is typically made up of four factors: biology, psychology, environment, and spirituality. Right now, the environmental pressures are causing massive psychological distress, and so people have to react. And, you know, we can like it or not. I'm not big on making judgments about these things. People don't have a lot of options right now, so people are turning more to alcohol. They're turning more to cannabis, weed, and things of that nature. They're turning to anything that will give them relief. Here's where the rubber meets the road as far as I'm concerned. If we use it during this time to compensate for the anxiety and stress, not a big deal. For those of you who are out there and are finding, oh, gosh, you know, I don't know if when this is over I'll be able to stop myself and sort of recalibrate the way I behave around these things, there can be an issue. One of my big belief points is, as long as we don't let shame, I have a sort of, I'll do the PC version of it, the F shame kind of movement thing that I've been pushing, is what ends up being important is that we don't start believing that because we reacted before, because we drank more during Corona or something like that, that means we now have this big sickness or big problem. Let's be honest about what we've done. Let's be clear that we had to do it in order to compensate for what's happening from the outside. And when things change, we'll change with them.
More coming up with Dr. Adi Jaffe. We're going to talk about what lies ahead, what lies beyond the COVID-19 pandemic. We'll do that and more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. So good to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ.
Breaking news, newsmakers, and political heavy hitters, all before the sun comes up. The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
As we are staying home more and more, isn't it time to take care of some of those projects that you've been putting off? At Carpets & More, we have 4 decades of home remodeling experience. We can expertly handle any type of flooring, cabinetry, countertops, window coverings, virtually anything. And best of all, on approved credit, we have no interest financing. No interest. Come see us at 4580 West Tico or call us at 450-MORE. That's 450-M-O-R-E or carpetsandmore.com. Let's get those home projects done.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by friends of Scott Hammond.
At Castle Insurance Group, their mission is to make life easier for you and your business. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Instead of you taking the time to hunt down the best prices for your homeowners, auto, and business insurance, the pros at Castle Insurance Group do all the hard work for you, and it won't cost you a penny more. The folks at Castle Insurance Group don't represent just one insurance carrier. They can look for the lowest prices and best coverage from a host of carriers. Name brands like Progressive, Nationwide, Travelers, Safeco, Dairyland, and many more. At Castle Insurance Group, they make buying insurance easy. Just a 10-minute phone call with a Castle Insurance Group representative, and you can get the lowest rates and the best coverage. You kick back and relax, and they do all the heavy lifting. Call my friends at Castle Insurance Group, 702-714-1060. Remember, the quote is absolutely free. That's 702-714-1060. One more time, 702-714-1060. That's Castle Insurance Group.
Big name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
And this hour brought to you by Bye Bye Fungus Antifungal Serum. It's so unique and so effective that a patent's been issued by the U.S. government. Call 800-258-3635. That's 800-258-3635. Say bye-bye fungus and hello sandals. Joining us, Dr. Adi Jaffe, he is... Your personal story is interesting in that you've suffered and struggled with mental health and addiction. You know it from a firsthand basis. Can you talk a little bit about it?
Sure. I suffered, the people around me probably suffered more, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, between the ages of 14 and 26, I lived a pretty stereotypical life you see in any movies of a guy who goes from drinking and smoking a lot of weed to being a daily meth addict and drug dealer. My life ended up looking quite a bit like the first couple of seasons of Breaking Bad for a while there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's actually a pretty amazing Xerox copy of what my life looked like for a while. I definitely know the experience firsthand of what it feels like to be unanchored and not really tethered to anything, not really connected, not really feeling like anything matters that you do. That was a difficult existence. I went through a couple of rehabs. I spent a year in jail after all of that. It was definitely a wake-up call. And I've had a few wake-up calls, but for whatever reason, that last wake-up call stuck. And that's after that ended, and after I got out of jail, I said, you know, I'm not really clear on how exactly I ended up in that bad of a position. Let me go back and figure it out. And that's what made me go back to school, get my PhD, and really start figuring out what's going on in addiction. How can we make it better? What are the things that work and what doesn't?
How did you find your way back? Did you find a 12-step program that interested you? And do you believe in that kind of stuff?
My first entry into recovery was definitely 12-step oriented. You know, it's literally the only thing that got presented. It was the only thing that was available. And, you know, like it or not, it did what I needed it to do originally. I was not an easy person to change. And so for me, fortunately, I'm very lucky in that jail and the threat of more prison time, et cetera, later on, really did a number on me. And it committed me to doing better. What happened after, I spent about 3 years in traditional recovery in 12-step. And what I realized afterwards, though, as I was in school, was that it felt limiting to me. That's actually why I wrote the book, The Abstinence Myth. I think... And a lot of people don't love this next thing I'm about to say, but I think we put too much emphasis on abstinence as the starting point and the determining factor of when people are successful in recovery and when they're not. And I've met a lot of people who are struggling in terms of meeting long-term abstinence and yet are maintaining a pretty successful life. And I've met people who have long-term sobriety and, you know, their recovery is questionable. So what I talk about in the book is the idea that anybody who wants help, whether they're ready to quit or not, deserves to start getting help. And that once somebody is in recovery, if you struggle with addiction at some point in the past, abstinence is definitely one of the ways to measure your recovery, but there are a lot more important and a lot more complete ways of figuring out if you're doing well or not.
And by the way, here in Vegas, we are the addiction capital of the free world. It's all around you.
You guys do it well.
No, but I mean, when you think about it, we've got alcohol, sex, gambling. We've got all the addictions are all right here in about a 3 mile area, and it's incredible.
You do. You have it all. I mean, you know, I was making a little light of it before, but Vegas and the surrounding areas have incredible methamphetamine addiction problems, alcohol, obviously, gambling problems, etc. So it is. It is definitely, again, like I talk about in the book, biology, psychology, environment, and spirituality. If your environment supports really risky, high reward, high punishment and risk kind of behaviors, you're more likely to get in trouble. And Vegas is one of those examples.
Do you still struggle with addiction? Is it still a day-by-day thing for you, even after all these years?
No, it's not. Look, I have personality characteristics that are here. So I'm a pretty extreme person. Right now that shows up in work. Some people decide to call it, that I'm work addicted or a workaholic. I don't understand why that served the purpose. It is my responsibility on a daily basis to to do the work, to keep growing and keep expanding, and that is something that I take seriously. It's a big part of the work that I do. But I would definitely not say I struggle with addiction on a regular basis. I think it's all of our jobs. And even people who've never struggled with addiction ever, if you get yourself into a place in your life where you're willing to keep testing your assumptions, keep moving forward and making yourself better, you'll end up living a happier life.
I want to ask in our final couple of minutes, I want to get back to the COVID-19, the pandemic, and are we ever as a society going to get back to what I would call normal, or are we creating in the process here of creating a new normal? And I'm talking about simple things like handshakes, like hugs, like social distancing. Nobody knew 4 months ago what social distancing was.
Yeah, what a great question. I mean, look, I wish if I had a crystal ball, I would be, I don't know, playing the lottery more. But here's what I think. People, like I said before, people are social animals. That is just the baseline of who we are, and I think it's going to continue. And so I don't think that's going anywhere, but the caveat is this. We are going to adjust, at least for the next, 6 months to a year. There have always been changes in the way that we interact with one another. That's not new. What's new about this is how extreme and global this is, right? It's the fact that everywhere all over the world, people have changed. And so we haven't had something like that happen where the entire world had to react and alter the way that they behave, really, for as far as anybody who's alive right now can remember. My guess, and this is an educated guess, is that give it 5 years and we will be back to shaking hands and hugging and doing all the stuff that everybody's used to. And there will be a handful of us that will even remember to say, hey, remember when we couldn't do this and how awkward that was?
I want to ask you about your practice. Are you seeing more and more cases, more and more people that are seeking your help because of the pandemic? And is it obvious that that's the source of the mental health issues?
We are. So I run a company called Ignited. That's spelled I-G-N-T-D. It's like the word Ignited with a couple of letters, a couple of vowels missing, I-G-N-T-D. So at Ignited, we have absolutely seen more people. We've actually seen 5 times more people come get help. But I think there's 2 different things that factor into it. It's online help. And so before, when I would tell people, hey, I help people with addiction and it's all online, they'd look at me, move their head sideways and go, how do you help people online? That can't work. And now, nobody heard of Zoom 6 months ago. Now everybody's on Zoom. We've been on it for 3 years. And so many, many more people are seeking help. But I think that is one of the lasting, one of the lasting impressions of this. If you think, I don't know if you've ever gotten therapy yourself, but for those of you who are listening and have gotten therapy, just think of the old process of therapy. You would get in your car, drive between 20 to 40 minutes to go to see your therapist. You'd park your car, talk to them for 50 minutes and come back. It would be a 3-hour process for less than 1 hour of help. It's really inefficient, and also it's limited because you're limited by the therapists around you that you can go see and you can afford. The whole idea of online help is so easy. The people that come to us get help from their cell phones or their laptops or their tablets. They just have their headphones on and they're in their own little reality. We've seen incredible help for a lot less money and a lot less inconvenience. So I think hopefully that will stick around and people will understand that that's a real viable option now.
So you can help people online. You may be somewhere halfway across the country or you may be right here in Las Vegas, but you can help people with online the same way that the teachers who never thought of teaching online courses are now teaching online.
I love that analogy. Yeah, we have people from all over the world. This guy tuned in today from Australia to one of our groups. It was 2 a.m. He appreciated what we did enough. This is just blew my mind. But he appreciated what we did enough to wake up at 2 a.m. in Australia to come watch one of our groups because it was so helpful for him. And, he would have never been able to come from Australia to L.A. to get help. And yet here we were able to bridge that gap. It was a really, really powerful experience.
Dr. Jaffe, how do people find out about what you do? If they want to join in with you, how do they go about doing it? Where do they find your book?
Okay, so you mentioned the big 3 things, and I'll just say them. adijaffe.com, adijaffe.com is where you can find about all my stuff. If you care about the book in particular, it's called The Abstinence Myth. Selling on Amazon, we sell it ourselves for a little bit cheaper, theabstinencemyth.com. And then if you go to ignited.com, you'll find out a lot about those online treatment help solutions.
Very good. Dr. Jaffe, thanks for joining us on what for many people is a holiday. You're still working. I'm still working. And it's what we do. It's who we are. Thanks so much, my friend. And have a great 4th of July.
Thanks for having me. Have a wonderful.